Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you are providing a meal. You are housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
I want to welcome to the microphones here some folks that we've been following now for, we've been following them for at least 5 years, but they've been around even longer than that. And that is First to 11. And with us, we have Ryan Kryshak and Audra Miller and Trevor Vogt. Lady and gentlemen, welcome to the show. We appreciate it here.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having us.
All right. So, you know what? Let's get started here. Ryan, you're kind of like you're the ringleader here. I mean, you kind of tell us a little bit about the story of your studio and getting this started with these young people.
So I was teaching lessons at World of Music, individual music lessons, and I had a bunch of kids that were all the same age,
all went to the same school, Fairview, and I was like, why don't you guys have a band? And we just started having practices in my mom's basement and got some songs together, played a show, and then the parents were like, let's do this all the time. Let's do a weekly band practice. And then some other families saw these kids playing around town and they were like, all right, we want our kids to take lessons and join bands. And
wow,
it turned into this whole thing. I think at one point we had 10 different bands, all, you know, under the age of 18, that were playing around Erie, Celebrate Erie and Eight Great Tuesdays and all different events and
all
stuff
the festivals
like that.
Festivals and yeah. Stuff downtown. Yeah.
Was that like a school of rock? I mean, is that kind of what got people hype about that, you think?
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of, not based on that. I kind of just like, oh, this is the same thing as the movie.
right.
But yeah, it was, you know, just wanted to give them the opportunity and wanted to create like a real rock band experience where it wasn't just like soccer practice, you know, kind of version of it. It was like, no, we're going to go out and play shows. We're going to use real amps. We're going to, you know, go through all the steps that a regular band would. And just give them that experience super early so that, you know, by the time they were 14, 15, they were winning contests and kind of killing it all over the place.
Yeah, one of the big things that happened when we first became acquainted with the band was that that First 11 had won at a Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Was that at the Rock Hall even?
Yeah, it was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that was a pretty... Yeah. Good feather in your cap, you know? I mean,
at the time there was like 70, 80 bands that were competing in that. It was like,
it was really big when we
round
did it.
After round of competition, and then there was
like
a final.
2 months of bands competing to get to the finals. Yeah.
And you guys did it a bunch of times before you were even eligible to do it, because they weren't even in high school.
Is that right?
Yeah. So the first year that they were actually eligible to win, they won it. And then they won it the next year as well.
Would you say, and Trevor, weigh in on this, would you say that the First to 11 phenomenon really turns the narrative of the garage band on its ear? I mean, you think about what people think about with a garage band. Well, it's usually kind of marginal skill set. You know
yeah.
You know, what do you think?
Oh, man. Garage band. It's a way to get out. Throw it out into the world and say, hey, check it out. And then people, you know, you get the feedback you get like, you know, and you just you whittle away at it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then people will go, you know.
Definitely made people pay attention. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
What impact, and again, this is Natalie talking, but my favorite movie of all time is That Thing You Do.
Oh,
what
yeah.
impact
oh,
yeah. does it, the, just kind of the homage to the Wonders, you know
That's
I mean?
So
is there
funny.
Any impact of that?
Well, I'll tell you a story. We actually never, ever did a cover of that song, like touched that song, did anything.
Did you watch the movie, though, Audra?
I have never seen the movie, no.
What? Seriously?
No, never.
That's an abomination.
I know,
you
I know.
Realize that.
And see, that's what our fans say too. But we never did a cover of that. And then people were like, we know this song. Like, you guys are from Erie. Why have you never done this? And when did we do it? Like two years ago?
Yeah.
We finally did a cover of it. And people were like, we've been waiting for this. Like, we thought you guys were going to do this years ago. And we just never did. And we were like, I guess we'll do it.
Like, that's so awesome.
We had so many plans. We were like, yeah. all right. Everyone is coming to the studio and we're going to watch this movie this weekend.
And, we did
and then
not.
Someone was like, oh, I can't make it. And I was like, no, everyone has to be there.
Yeah.
Everyone is watching this
we'll
movie.
We'll have to try it another time. Yeah. We'll have to try again.
Mandatory viewing.
I mean, Ryan, you've obviously seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think it was seriously just me, Matt, and Sam had never seen
yeah,
the
yeah,
movie.
Yeah.
That's
and so,
so
we were just
funny.
Like, oh, I guess we probably should watch.
Okay.
True that it's mostly it wasn't shot in Erie. It
was, nothing was
no.
shot
no,
in Erie,
no,
but it was Tom Hanks who came to an Oktoberfest
mm-hmm.
and just loved the vibe of Erie. And of course, he grew up in spent
Crazy.
A lot of time in Cleveland.
Okay.
And so when they were you know out of his creativity and he came up with this to plan it in Erie. And believe me, I'm not sure other than maybe movies that are set in New York,
mm-hmm.
I've never seen another movie that refers to an, you know, it's always drawing back to Erie in the
yeah.
narrative of the movie,
mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah.
then That Thing You Do,
mm-hmm.
or into any city, you know, St. Louis or
yeah.
Miami, or it's
yeah.
wild.
The city almost felt like a character in the movie,
mm-hmm.
like because of where they were from made the whole story make sense and be more like exciting, I think.
Yeah, well, and the idea that you have the number 7 song on Billboard, you know, I mean, it's just pretty, just, you know, off the chain. But anyway, we're talking to our friends from First to 11 here. So we met you soon after the Rock Hall Award. It's been a whirlwind ever since. Did you notice that might have been a hinge moment for you guys?
Yeah, I think so for sure. I mean, before... Right after we had done that, we got the chance to play a date on the Vans Warped Tour, which was a big tour for all of, like, the rock bands that were, like, kind of in the scene at the time. And while we were there, we met our manager for our original band, Concrete Castles, and got offered our deal for that afterwards. And then First to 11 took off on YouTube after that. And we kind of then made the decision to not go to school and pursue this full time. So that was like kind of around the time that all happened was when we really like dove into First 11. That's when we started doing a cover a week on our YouTube channel as well. It was like pretty soon after that. And that was kind of like the turning point, I think, for everything, actually.
Again, as someone who knows just enough about what it takes to produce a music video and music just to be painful and to be dangerous. The idea of a cover a week with a music video to the high production values that you guys have put into that has to be a lot of work. Can you tell us a little bit about your process?
Yeah, it was like, you know, because we started so early, like, and people like Sam learned how to play drums and learned how to play guitar. And because they started so early, they got proficient at a lot of other things that go into being a band other than just playing your one instrument. So when it came time to do one cover a week, we all sat down and we were like, I can play drums, I can play guitar, I can play bass. How about I just do a whole song myself? I can't sing, so I got to send it to Audra. But how about all three of us are working on one of those?
And I would get 3 songs at a time
yeah.
instead of 1 song at a time. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so it was like,
so realistically,
we had a system.
I'm playing 3 instruments, but I'm only doing 1 song a month, roughly.
Yeah.
She's doing 1 instrument, but singing
4 songs
3
a
or
month
4
or
songs,
3
a
songs
a month.
Yeah.
So it was like, we kind of came up with this process that we could all kind of separate ourselves a little bit and get a lot of work done simultaneously rather than having like
all of us sit in a room and
So you're saying when I'm watching a video of First to 11, more than likely that is shot over multiple days.
No, the video is actually all shot in one, about an hour, hour 15.
Like you do several takes and just get all your angles and your cover shots and the whole
thing. And then everything else we record, honestly, months in advance. Mm-hmm. Like we are, we have our videos and our covers done until what? Like the end of April right now for this year already. So we just get really far ahead. So then when we go on tour, we just don't have to worry about it. We're just, you know, months and months in advance, ready to go.
We shoot two videos every Monday. Okay. So we're always like doubling our, you know, whatever we have, you know, weekly, we're doing twice as much.
Do you feel, Trevor, that you've been able to kind of teach the audience, teach the fan base, hey, this is the expectation that you can get from us?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is pressure to make a song, you know, by I mean, it is, because, you know, sometimes you can't be afraid to ask for help, certainly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, every time, you know, we kind of go and make a cover, I think we have an idea. We kind of delve it out a little bit of like, oh, this would be good for you. This would be good for you.
Yes. And, for sure.
You know, it's a lot of preparation. It's not very rock and roll to be prepared.
Yeah, for real.
But, as far as like,
well, it's reality.
It is reality.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you'll crash and burn.
Heck, all you have to do is like watch the 30 hours of the Beatles making Let It Be.
Yeah.
And you find out how tedious and mind numbing a process in the studio can be. Now, again, they had dysfunctional relationships going on or whatever, and you guys just love each other. But no, seriously, I mean, this is, you know. I remember sitting in a jingle session that lasted 8 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, until 2 a.m. to sing 30-second sing on a jingle. It just takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of have the process, but we almost treat it like a business.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like where, you know, you have your marketing guy, you have your accountants, you have your, you know, people that are good at certain aspects to make the whole thing operate.
Work,
that's kind of like what we do. Mm-hmm. So we have different types of songs that we do, and there's different people in the studio that are good at different things.
Yeah.
So we give them their tasks and they're part of the community, and we just kind of
go from there.
Yeah.
And are you, again, this is still show business. This is still music. You're able to have fun and embrace it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I think absolutely.
There's obviously, like, when you do as many covers as we do, there's covers that, like, not everybody's going to like.
Yeah.
And you have to do it because the fans want to hear that song. Or there's some, like, even we sometimes are doing songs that maybe somebody else doesn't like. And we're just like, well, good thing we do one every single week. Mm-hmm. So
get them next
it
week,
doesn't really matter. You're always amazing. Working on something new. Always something fun. Always something new.
I want to talk to you about styles because, you know, you could take a, let's say, a Miley Cyrus song and really pump it up or whatever. I don't hear you, though, like going like country or something like that.
Which is so funny. We've talked about that recently. We might dive in a little bit.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I mean, so who's choosing the styles? Is there kind of a go-to style of kind of more of a rock edge, you know, almost leaning a little metalish or not really? I mean, how would you describe it?
I think all of our stuff is kind of like pop rock. And I think our audience is very into that kind of stuff. I think it's different when you do covers because, you know, there's some songs where you can't change them. Like we do like older classic songs that we're just like, we're not going to touch these because we know that people just want to hear them with a new singer on it, and it sounds exactly the same because that's just what they
want.
So
tell us some about you, like your old classics that you've.
I mean, our biggest one on our whole channel, and the one that we did do that with is "Sweet Child of Mine."
Right.
And after we did that, we were like, okay, so now we know these type of songs. People who watch us like those, and they like to just hear them. They don't want it. They don't want them changed. They don't want to hear anything new. They just want to hear another version of that song.
But it's amazing to me, let's say a contemporary of yours, you know, early to mid 20s, is digging a 90s song that that Ryan grew up with. You know what I mean? Like, that's wild.
It's so funny. Trevor and I were actually just talking about this the other day, how when I joined, you know, First 11 when I was younger, Ryan would just be like, hey, play this song, which is like 11-year-old me was not like, yeah. I want to play this song, but it helped. And like now, and that's exactly what we did with our channel too, is we never wanted to box ourselves in to one specific genre, one specific artist, one type of music really at all. And we do everything. We do Metallica and we do Katy Perry and Lady Gaga and like just all kinds of songs, and we span every genre. And I think that's kind of why our channel has had so much success in what we've been doing.
I'm noticing, I type in First 11 in YouTube, instantly comes up tickets and events. I mean, you're a draw at these venues that you're attending. Talk about the tour that's coming up here.
So we have an upcoming tour of the East Coast and a little bit into the Midwest starting this April. And it's actually going to be our third headline tour for First 11. I think this one might be like the longest one that we've done so far, though. Our last one last year was like pretty close to the same. But I think this one we're hitting like a few different markets and stuff. But we're going to be on tour for 2 weeks in April. And we're going to be actually close to Erie. We're going to be in Erie for a show at Big Bar.
At Big Bar, yeah.
And then we'll be in Pittsburgh and Buffalo as well. You know, places close to here, but we're going on tour with other bands from Erie, other people who work with us, Trevor's other band actually, and Ryan's other band, Daytona Beach 2000, and then Brooke Surgener, who works at our studio as well.
Okay. So it's all in the family.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. It's kind of how we market the tour now, is our fans from watching us for so many years, we do collabs with Trevor and Brooke. Yeah. And when they come to the tour, they're not just coming for us. They're coming to see everybody because they want to see Monochrome Studios. That's kind of the brand that we've built up.
So interesting. Yeah, this is something that you guys taught me, is the idea of multiple brands or multiple bands with the same personnel. So Concrete Castles, we focus on originals, right? And then tell us about Daytona Beach.
Daytona Beach was it was pretty much a band for Trevor, because
boy, Trevor, you deserve a band.
I want a band. Come on.
And you know, the music that he grew up on is like, you know, a little bit of a generation, half a generation, you know, or newer than the music that I grew up on.
Yeah.
So he grew up on Blink-182, and I kind of like missed that boat.
And I also did.
Yeah, and then like, Audra's like kind of right too young for it. So it was kind of like, this was the band when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, do you think people, you know, that are now old enough to go to bars, do you think they're going to come out and watch this kind of music? And we played our first show, and it was a resounding yes.
Interesting.
You can even tell on tour. And it's so funny because a lot of our fans overlap. So every time we do a collab with Trevor and Daytona Beach, we do a Blink song, and people look forward to it. Every year we do one on our channel, and people get so excited about it, and they get so excited to see them on the First 11 tour too.
That's amazing. But you're known to do some even older classics. Didn't you do some Queen? Or
we have been dabbling in Queen.
I mean, that we've done.
What did we just do? Just recently did.
No, Somewhere Over the Rainbow is our oldest
song.
Oh,
for sure.
Well, okay,
But
American songbook, you know.
After that, I think it's the Beatles. We did
Beatles
song. Come
Together.
Nice.
Still might be my favorite.
I do.
So what was your take on Come Together? I might have to play this as a bumper.
It sounds nothing like
Sam did that one,
song.
And I remember I was just filming at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, you'd just go and you'd hear it for the first time. I was like, this is the sickest take on this song I've ever. I couldn't believe it. And Sam's like, yeah.
We used to play it live, and then we realized that nobody actually knows the words to that song. And it got
they know two words.
Including me, I also don't know the words.
Yeah. you straightened your hair on that video.
Yes, I look different in probably every video you'll ever
see. Is that right?
Different color hair, different hairstyle. Yeah, every video.
Do you get help with any of that stuff?
No, nope. I do it all myself.
Good for you. It's amazing. So you're available on YouTube, available on Spotify here, and I'm getting it queued up for the bump.
Oh yeah, get it queued up.
Because I think we need to do that. So stylistically, you don't want to be ever pinned down.
No.
It sounds like.
No, we want to.
So that's why you're talking country.
Yeah,
or whatever.
We've been recently trying some country songs. We did a cover of Before He Cheats and Life is a Highway, and they went pretty viral on TikTok. And so we were like, maybe we should start doing this. So
Have you thought about jazz at all? I mean, I could see you.
We haven't.
No.
Not really.
It seems like country is morphing. You know what I mean? It
well,
doesn't
no
sound
doubt.
Like yeah. the country that you're familiar with.
It's becoming
with.
Rock.
Yeah.
Which is really helpful for us.
Well, what about that song that won the Grammy, or at least was on the Grammys? What was it? Luke Bryant?
Oh,
the cover
Fast
of
Car.
Fast Car. Yeah.
Oh, the Tracy Chapman
yes.
cover, yeah.
Which, again, was one of my 80s
yeah.
favorites.
Mm-hmm. Luke Combs.
Crazy
Luke
performance Combs. At the Grammys. So that was one of my favorite ones.
Oh,
from
my
that
gosh.
Night.
She was just loving
so
that.
Good, yeah. yeah.
But things like that, you know, that's. They just kind of nudged it in a country direction.
Yep.
Yeah.
Barely,
and,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, a good it's song is a good
ahead.
Song.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the, you know, the country bands that you go and see now, you realize that there's dudes up there with sleeveless shirts and mm-hmm. and black guitars and, yeah. and they're not wearing cowboy hats and their shirts tucked in anymore. They're but, like rock dudes that just happen to be
yeah.
in country
as
bands.
As long
now.
As you include a steel guitar, it's country. I want to ask you, because again, you talk to a lot of artists across the country. And I'm sure you talk to other musicians here locally. How would you describe that your experience is different than, let's say, like the typical musician that's, you know, eking out a living here in Erie, PA?
I think the biggest thing is it's all on the internet. And what's crazy to think about is the biggest push that First 211 ever had was during COVID, weirdly. Mm. That was the best we were doing on YouTube. Mm. Like, all we did was, you know, when everybody else was taking a break and staying home, we were home, but we were putting out two covers a week for the entirety of, like, those few months and doing live streams and building up even more of a fan base. And that was kind of, like, the big difference for us is we just kind of figured out how to do everything online from wherever we were.
Right, right. Well, and a lot of folks did go
Absolutely.
To Facebook Live or whatever, because
yeah.
that's all you could do.
That's all you could do.
I mean.
But there was a big learning curve for a
yeah.
lot of bands that weren't familiar with that. And mm-hmm. for us, it was just kind of like.
We'd already been doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
right.
So like when I gave Audra a camera to film herself, you know, for those videos, she knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
Because she was already familiar. And everyone else in the band already had, you know, a background doing that sort of stuff. So mm-hmm. all we had to do was just use Dropbox and send all our
wow.
files to each other. And
yeah. We all weren't even
Yeah,
here.
We weren't together.
Yeah, you yeah. weren't together. You were doing it separately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ryan, do you think that your approach to teaching music and the whole rock and roll thing is just unique? I mean, again, people have been taking music lessons for centuries, but what's your philosophy about it all?
Well, I mean, I think that I've learned a lot. You know, when I started teaching guitar lessons, I was like, all right, let's just learn how to play guitar. But as I was a guitar player, I was like, well, it's not all about playing guitar. It's all about, you know, working together with other people. It's all about, you know, diversifying what you're able to do. Because if you're just a guitar player, you need to rely on other people. And so I started teaching all of my students to play drums and play guitar and know how to write songs and know how to cover songs and basically cover all of the avenues because, you know, music, especially, you know, our group of people,
yeah.
it's not, we have First to 11, but we also all teach. We also all, you know, go out and play shows, but we also do stuff online. We also write originals. We also do covers. Trevor and I are selling guitars online. You know, there's just wow. so much more to, and we're also producing content videos and recording other artists around town mm-hmm. as well. So it's like just having your hand in one bucket is kind of not enough sometimes. So being able to do a lot of different things and kind of breaking through a lot of the typical, you know, everyone says you just got to play live all the time. That's what you got to do. That's how you're going to make it. Or you got to sign a record deal. That's how you're going to make it. And turns out that's not always true. And it goes all the way to the teaching where some people are like, you can't start a kid playing guitar until they're 7 or 8. Their hands aren't big enough, you know? And we're like, no, we'll give a guitar to a 3-year-old and look, he can play.
Wow.
Because, you know, there's just a lot of misconceptions or, you know, kind of norms that people adhere to without really testing the waters and seeing, like, do we really have to do it that way? Do we really? And I think that was like where I was like, you know, getting dead ends doing it the traditional way.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's try something different. I think this will work. And a few times it did.
I want you all to weigh in on this because I think Ryan's also been able to be a coach when it comes to band dynamics. Again, it's one thing to learn how to play guitar in your studio that, you know, 25 minutes a week. It's another to kind of have to have your ego merge with a bunch of other very talented people. Can you communicate about that? Band dynamics and what you've had to learn?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is, like, we all always had a choice of what we wanted to do. Like, when I joined the band, I didn't listen to any music that any of them listened to. And you know what we did? We played two country songs because I listened to country music. But I also sang two rock songs. Yeah. And we did. There's just, like, it's kind of a figuring out, like, not everybody all the time gets everything they want when you're in a band. You have to work with other people and you have to listen to what other people in the band also want. And I think starting so young was really helpful because you just kind of learn how to do that when you're 10 years old. So then when you're 22, you don't have to anymore.
Well, it's like, there is a very strong sports analogy, isn't there? Like, if you are the digger on the back line of your volleyball team, you're serving it up to the tall girl at the net.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's your role and that's her role.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, like we talked about our process, everybody kind of knows what they do and everybody has a job, and I think that's kind of what keeps it, you know, working like it is.
What do you think, Trevor?
I think everything she said.
What can I say?
100%.
Well, I mean, you know, have you been in multiple band situations where sometimes it gets squirrely a little bit, or I mean, and how do you overcome those interpersonal dynamics? You know,
you gotta go, well, it's all for the greater good, and I think it is.
It's missional.
I think when you play music, usually it's, you look at it like, I always looked at it like, I like to skateboard because it's just me. I can go do what I want to do the way I want to do it. And I kind of played music that way for a long time. And like my early bands, it was hard because I wouldn't give up certain things. I wouldn't want to, you know, bend anyway. And then like when I met Ryan all those years ago, and I saw, like, that's how, that's how, you know, dynamics are. Okay, you can do that. You know, we don't have to just, you know, I don't have to go in this one direction all the time. And it's been cool just, like, letting that down and realizing, wow, it's pretty fun. Because when you do it with everyone else and you're all in it together, you get to have that shared success and you get to have that shared, you know, accomplishment. Versus just being a lone warrior, you know, trying to like, I know how to do everything. And, you know, that's tough. That's a long road.
But Ryan, I would imagine that there's a lot of adults that could learn some of those band dynamics and, basically mutual respect and so on.
It's crazy that you brought up the Beatles. They were only together like 8 or 9 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Like a really short amount of time. And First to 11 as a band has already been
that's
around
actually crazy
longer than the Beatles have.
Wild.
You've got to stick through a lot of stuff in order to make it work. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, a lot of people might think, wow, you really, you know, got those kids to be successful really quick, but it was like, well, they just started 5 years before you even heard of them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with our YouTube channel even. Mm-hmm. People were like, overnight sensation.
Yeah.
And we were like, we've been doing this for so long.
Yeah. It was like 7 years
before
the first
YouTube
video.
Yeah.
And having the group mentality too that Trevor was saying, like, you know, we had a singer before Audra, but I had Audra loaded up, ready to go if that singer were to quit. And when she did, then Audra was right there. And the same thing with Sam. Sam was in a band that was kind of running parallel to First to 11. And when a couple of the kids decided to go to college, boom, Sam was in there. And, you know, whenever we need to make these pivots and call on our friends to help us out, they're right there. So, you know, Trevor in Daytona Beach has been right alongside First to 11, doing tours together, doing mm-hmm. videos together. And when it's time that we need a bass player, then Trevor just walks right in and he's ready to go. So having a bigger group of, you know, not just the core band and everyone else mm-hmm. is not a part of it. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, you know, we had Brooke come in and do covers with us, and we had Trevor come in and do covers with us, and we'd collaborate with other people that maybe we'll go on tour with someday.
Nice. Yeah.
Because we want to develop those relationships and not just try and do everything by ourselves. It's so much easier to have someone to bounce ideas off of and to share the success with.
Mm-hmm. I want you to talk, Audra, about this concept of the doing the originals with Concrete Castles, mm-hmm. because that is always a point of nervousness with bands.
Yeah.
Again, people fall in love with artists doing covers in a town like Erie, PA, but then you're really putting yourself out there when you're trying to do your own songwriting and so on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And talk about that experience and the kind of response you got.
Yeah, so we kind of, like you're saying, did two separate bands for a reason, and it's because people fell in love with First to 11 for the covers.
Yeah.
And we didn't want First to 11 fans to have to get over that hump of, okay, you do covers, why are you doing originals?
Because right. I know this song from the radio or wherever they get from Spotify.
Exactly.
And now I don't know this song.
Right. And so it's like, what do you do? How do you keep those fans happy? You start a new project, and the fans who are interested in the originals will come over and listen to the originals, and then you'll make new fans along the way. And that's kind of what we decided to do, was keep those things completely separate. And like I said, not all of the fans are separate. There's a lot of fans that come to First 11 and Concrete Castle shows who tell us, hey, the last time I saw you was at a First 11 show. The last time I saw you was at a Concrete Castle show. And it's pretty cool to hear that, and it's cool to meet people in that way. But Concrete Castles did have success touring, and since we put out two albums, we've been on 5 tours, and
nice.
We've made new fans just from being on the road. And I think Concrete Castles is definitely taking, it's more of a traditional approach to being an original band, is we're touring. And then this new album that we just did, we tried something new. We took a little bit more of a First to 11 approach, and we put out a music video for every single song that was on our album. And our fans responded really well to it, because a lot of our fans came from First to 11. So having content put out in that same way, I think, was really helpful to them, and also, you know, made us some new fans who were seeing these new music videos when we were putting out content more regularly for Concrete Castles.
I don't want to get beyond my knowledge base, but sometimes record companies can be sleazy. It's kind of so, like, for example, when the Stabilizers came up in the 80s, there was a solid band here in Erie, but MCA, I think that was the label, only offered a gig, an album to two of the guys from the mm-hmm. Stabilizers. And so my question to you, and again, push back if you don't want to answer it, but has a label just tried to cherry pick you? Because the hot thing these days is not bands, but it's single female artists.
No, we kind of started from the beginning being like, we are a band. And that's what you get. You don't get anything else. And I think people kind of responded pretty well to that. And it kind of just goes with the music that we play is very, very band oriented. So when we were, you know, getting contacted by labels and managers and stuff, they knew what type of music we played. Yeah. And they knew that that was the direction that we wanted to go.
Ryan, do you see that artists are more in control of their lives these days than maybe, you know, years gone by? I don't know.
Yeah, I remember like some original bands that I was in, and like the labels, you know, it was very like they knew who was going to win certain like TV shows, and they were, you know, they had plants everywhere, and it was very contrived. And I kind of, when I started working with them, I told them, like, all right, well, when you guys get signed to a label, they're going to tell you what to play, and they're going to tell you how to dress, and they're going to tell you what you need to do. And then when they got signed to a label that was just kind of like,
do whatever
you want. And they were super supportive. Yeah.
Wow.
It was a shock to me. I thought things were going to be a lot different than they were. And then it was a shock to them, because they were like, all right, well, now we've got to figure this out.
We were like, oh, no. What do we do?
Because I prepped them the whole time thinking, like, oh, they're going to write songs for you.
Yeah.
And then they got there.
They were like, nope. We were like, uh-oh. Now what?
Wow. Well, that's remarkable. Okay, so what's 2024 look like to you? You're about to embark on a tour. What's the rest of the year look like for you guys?
So. I mean, the biggest part of this year for us is definitely the tour. We are just getting ready for that and getting ready to put out a bunch of covers. We are doing a little new thing for First 11 this year. We haven't talked about this at all yet, but we're doing a fan retreat where we're going to bring fans to Erie and show them what we do here so that people can kind of see exactly what we're talking about right now, our process and what we do. And, you know, we have some shows booked around that time for this summer. Daytona does, First 11 does, Brooke does. And so we're going to bring them here. And
this is like going
them.
To baseball fan camp or yeah. something yeah, yeah. like that.
Yeah.
You know, take some outfield pitches,
yeah,
you know, do
absolutely.
A little batting practice, right?
Yeah, so we're pretty excited
about
So
you're putting
that.
Them in the studio and the whole
yep.
shooting match?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, that is epic.
Yeah,
wow.
So we just want to try and do some new things and, you know, kind of give back to the fans who have been following us for so many years and do some cool new stuff this year.
Well, so, Ryan, you said that everybody is teaching as well. Mm-hmm. So is there a steady crop of these young 10, 11, 12-year-olds wanting to learn how to shred?
Yeah, yeah. So, they're like I said, I start teaching them really, really young. So my son started playing when he was like 18 months old. And he was already making YouTube covers.
Literally insane to just hear also.
He was doing YouTube covers when he was 4 years old.
Oh, my.
And then he kind of just stopped. He just stopped and started playing guitar. And now he's 7 years old and he's awesome at guitar.
Wow.
And he's, you know, doing all of our kind of our footstep stuff, but then even stuff that we've not done. So we didn't really pay a lot of attention to TikTok.
Okay.
But Cohen makes shorter videos.
Yeah.
And he's blown up on TikTok. He has like 750,000 subscribers.
Oh my gosh.
And he has got a video with like 60 million views on TikTok. And so we're teaching all these younger kids. And he's got a band as well of other 7 year olds and my daughter Quinn, who's 9. And we have a thing with the rock school that we're going to do an artist showcase of all of our students. So Brooke teaches a lot of like singer songwriter sort of students, and we're gonna go and do a show at Room 33 on March 5th.
Nice.
And I believe it's just a walk-in, you know, mm-hmm. kind of check it out sort of thing. It's from
six to nine, I think,
on March 5th
or 5 to 9.
But Cohen's band is gonna open it up, so little band of seven to 9 year olds playing a couple songs.
Holy smokes!
And then a bunch of Brooks students that all either play piano and sing or play guitar and sing. And then Brooke will be playing some stuff with them as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, our old rock school was kind of like I said, we had 10 bands and First to 11 was one of them. And our new rock school is like just a younger, much younger version of what we had before.
Yeah.
Have you thought about franchising this or like expanding to Pittsburgh or something? I mean, my goodness. I think you've caught some secret sauce here.
I've definitely been very lucky and had some success in multiple areas, but I'm not a great business person. So it's like these guys will probably throw me under the bus for this, but like I have so many ideas and I'm like, we should do this, we should do this, and we should market it this
way. I can already tell where this is going.
And yeah. I just don't right. do them.
Yeah, you need that who was it? Brian Epstein. You need that business
yeah.
person.
I need someone to definitely give me some direction and say, pursue this thing until it works. It's stable. And then pursue this thing until it's stable. But yeah, I just bounce around between a bunch of different bands and a bunch of different ideas. And
are you surprised that this has been so successful in a town like Erie? I mean, we always say kind of anecdotally, Erie's very talented. There's a lot of talent in Erie.
Oh, yeah.
But it is true, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there is crazy talent here. Like, so many times have I gone and seen a band and I'm like, this guy has an amazing voice, or this guy is one of the best guitar players I've ever seen.
Wow.
But then sometimes there's only like 10 or 15 people there because there's so much more to music now than just being good at your instrument. You have to market and you have to. And that was the thing that I'm like, I'm not a great guitar player, but I know how to get myself out there.
Yeah.
And you know, I got out there with some covers that I did with Brenna Bone, and they did really well. And then we did First to 11, and they did really well. And then we did Daytona Beach, and Daytona Beach did really well. It has a lot more to do with just being an instrumentalist or a regular musician. You've got to think about it like a business, and you've got to try things that a lot of people will tell you aren't going to work, but secretly they do.
All right, so let's get to Brass Tacks here with First to 11 here. Your next, when do your covers come out? What night of the week?
They come out every Thursday at 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
12, so nooner.
Yep.
So this is what you want to do.
Yep.
For lunch,
yeah, yeah.
You go to YouTube and look for your First to 11.
Yeah, it weirdly works.
Well, subscribe to it, right?
Yeah, subscribe. Yeah. You can follow us everywhere. You can find us on Spotify, all the places.
We have a new thing on the website. If you want to suggest a song for us to do, there's like a form that you can fill out, and the ones that get suggested the most,
we're going to do them.
That's what we're going to do.
I think you should do like the whole second side of Abbey Road. I think, Golden Slumber,
Definitely might be time for
so
another
heavy,
one.
She's so heavy, And then, again, to see you guys live, what's coming up here in Erie the next couple months?
Yeah, so we have, the next big one is our show at Big Bar. I believe it's April 26th. Maybe. I can double check, though.
Okay.
It's like one of the last. It is April 26th. I know.
It's
April 26th.
It's the end of the tour.
It's the end, of the tour, and the next day we play in Buffalo. I do know.
And if you're watching on Facebook or if you have friends, like what's a fun place that you're going to land down south? Do you know a date? Aren't you like in Miami or
we'll
something?
We'll be more towards the Midwest.
Okay.
So we play in, oh my goodness, like
Charlotte, I think,
Charlotte
is one of
the
East Coast
ones.
And then we go as far as
St. Louis,
Milwaukee.
Oh,
and
serious? Wow.
Yeah,
Minneapolis.
Okay.
And
I don't have all the
stuff.
Dates memorized.
Okay,
I almost do, but not all the way.
Look for the tour. And is there a regular, do you maintain, what's the best place to get information?
So
on Facebook or
Our website, actually.
The
just
website.
First11.com. We have all of our show dates, tour dates, all the local shows, everything's on there. So you'll be able to find all the show information on First11.com.
Wonderful.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing Joel @TalkErie.com.